Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today, I've got Sharpie and Steve, and we also have a special guest today. It is Lee Cockrell. He is the former Executive Vice President of Operations for the Walt Disney World Resort. So that was a mouthful. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Very good.
So glad to have you, Lee.
Thank you.
All right. So you have, in the past, worked for a lot of hospitality companies, and you've done some great things for the Walt Disney World Resort in Orlando. A lot with their world-famous service and strategies.
Yeah. And Lee, you don't know it, but Lisa and I were cast members.
Ah, we've gone through your training.
And you still want to talk to me?
I know it was. Brave. Oh, I know it's Disney has this thing where it's just like, I don't know. It's so
you
magical.
Drank the Kool-Aid.
And we did we did traditions. And I think it was a 5-day course when we did it. It was, back in the 90s. It was the whole week.
It was a lot.
And I still have my book. I still have my college program book, my doctorate.
Good for you.
So we love, the Disney service. So if any tips or advice or on how you structured all of that and got everybody so excited and management set up.
I think getting people excited is the hard part. How did you do that?
Well, let me tell you, it was easy for me because I don't have a college degree, so I had to go to simple things. And the way I think about it at Disney, and I will tell you any of your listeners that want to do it in their own business, I think the things that mean the most there and I really tried to focus on, I didn't focus on anything except about three things. I let my experts do what they did. I'm not an expert in engineering. I had a great engineer, so I left him alone and he came to me if he needed something. I had a great retail person, ran retail and all the shops, and a great food person and security and transportation and all that. And one day somebody said, well, what'd you do, Lee, if you got all these people running the business? And I said, I really focused on three things, and I think that's a good advice for all your listeners. Figure out what you're really good at. Focus on those things. Hire experts. Let them do their job. Don't micromanage them. And what I focused on was I was extremely involved in how we hire and promote people, making sure we had a good system in place to check them out, make sure we're hiring the right people, because that's really the number one key in any business. If you don't hire the right people, you're already behind the curve. I mean, you're in trouble. And so many people just hire somebody and, the first person comes in or they're on a deadline, they got to do it by Friday. And, at Disney, we're very particular how we do it. And as you know, and then I would say, after that, the people that get hired, we are better at training than most companies in the world. We train you, we test you, and your managers are keeping an eye on you to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do, because we know we're putting on a show, and your role in the show has been described to you, and you've been hired for that role in the show, and we want to have a hit show every day of the week. And then I think we're good at managers being good about enforcing the policies and the rules and the regulation and the training, because I would say that's the number one place companies drop the ball is they don't enforce their own policies and their own training, which is kind of odd because that's what you think you would do to get consistency in your business, which gives you a great reputation. That's why Disney, I think, it's pretty consistent every time somebody comes down there, and that's why they come back. And last, I think we created a better culture. Marriott was great when I worked for them. They had a great culture, and I thought Disney did too. And I really tried to focus on that to make sure that we were creating this culture and this environment where everybody wakes up in the morning and wants to come to work, not because they have to for a paycheck, but they want to because, they're included, involved, listened to, their opinion counts. So they can get ahead, they can get promoted. We know what their aspirations are, hopefully, if they got a good leader that's looking after them. And really a place like that, a place where everybody matters and they know they matter. And that's what I wanted to push. Now, did that always happen? No. I'm sure there are leaders that didn't make their people feel like they mattered. But I think on balance, overall, that was my main mission, is because even in my book, Creating Magic, the first chapter is titled, Remember, Everyone is Important. And so those are kind of simple things, but they're not so easy to implement. You got, I tell everybody, excellence is a state of mind. You got to really want it, because it's hard. You got to work hard at it, and you get disappointed, and you got to keep pushing and pushing through and pushing through. And it's kind of like raising kids. Sometimes they disappoint you, and you got to still love them and keep pushing on. And so that's kind of what I think we do best there is we hire right, we train right, and we treat people right. And when you do that, people will do the job without you looking over their shoulder every second. And so, yeah, it's just kind of a simple way to think about things. And I think about everything in my life simply.
So. Now, Lee, my introduction to you was your book, Creating Magic. And I really have to say that that book shaped a lot of what I have shaped in my own career. Specifically, I want to hear Lee Cockrell's definition of magic. What is magic?
Yeah, sure. I think magic for us in these days is when you're actually totally surprised at how great something is. You know, we all have, and we all anticipate every time we go to a restaurant, we anticipate already in our mind, we already have thought about kind of how it's going to go. And or when we get on an airplane or a certain airline or when we go to a destination for vacation, we dream up all this, how great it's going to be in our minds. And sometimes we get there and it's tragic. It's not magic. And our goal is to make sure that we not only meet the expectations of guests that have already formed an opinion in their mind. And I will tell you, Disney guests dream up before they come to Disney a bigger and better experience than sometimes it's that we can deliver. But they've got real high expectations. A Disney vacation, very high. A Disney cruise line, extremely high. And so that's what I think about magic's when I think it's going to be an 8 and it's a 10 or 11 or 12. And that's what you kind of have to do in your whole life is with your kids, you know, with the way you treat people, make it always better than they expect it to be. And I think about that all. You know, when I retired, I was thinking about, now, what am I going to do? And so I thought, best thing I want to do is be a teacher. And I want to teach because that's the most satisfaction you will get in your whole life. And if you're a parent, you know, teaching's everything. It's what it determines the outcome. And I wake up every morning now and try to think about how I can really help people. I get people call me every day and want to meet with me. And I tell them, hey, I'm at Starbucks, 6:30, 7:30. Just show up and I'll be there and we can talk. And I said, you know, you can either do that or you can say, hey, I'm too important. I don't meet people, you know, go away, leave me alone. I'm retired. But I think the most satisfaction in life is really about helping other people. And that's what I like to do. And I'm kind of wired that way. And I was raised that way. And I saw my grandmother do that. She was the nicest person I ever knew, and so I had good role model. And I think more people, as my granddaughter said, we need to be nicer, and we're not.
I like
people
her.
Are not nice as they need to be. We need to be nicer. And look at what we're going through with this election process right now. I mean, it's really discouraging. I really, my grandchildren and I have a long talks about it. They're 21, 18, and 15. And hey, let me tell you. I want them to be nice, and I don't want them to say hateful things about other people, even if you don't agree with their politics. And I just hate to see this hateful, you know. I heard somebody today said Hillary Clinton should be shot. I mean, are you kidding me? This is a delegate at the convention. What kind of leadership is that? And, you know, so I really try to think every day not to put people down, not to ruin somebody's self-esteem and self-confidence and try to help people believe in themselves, not feel more insecure than most of us already are anyway. So long answer to a short question.
But we, we have a at-home travel agency because now we sell Disney Vacations and Disney Cruise Line because we work there and we love it so much. So we see people wanting to escape. They want to go to Disney. They want that fantasy. They want that just break from reality. And it seems like they want it now more than ever. And Disney, you know, has this, you know, safe environment. They know it's a quality product and, you know, they'll pay, you know, whatever it is to kind of go and have that amazing experience.
I think safety is a good word you just used because I think that is in people's minds. You know, everywhere today, I mean, I can tell you, something could happen at Disney, but things do happen at Disney. But overall, from this terrorist point of view, You know, Disney's got 1,200 security. They're in the parking. They're everywhere, undercover. They're watching everything. And when I was there after 9/11, I spent millions on putting barriers up. You can't drive a truck in any hotel. I guarantee you that. And most guests don't even see that. If you look at the front entrances of all our hotels, there's stationary bars there. You cannot get through. And we looked at everything. And I think safety is one thing. But yeah, I mean, my wife and I just went away to France for a month, and it was, we didn't turn the TV on for 1 month. Do you believe that?
That's awesome.
I was so relaxed when I got back that I didn't know what to do. And I actually, we've turned the TV off a few days here with this convention going on, because I negative stuff starts to affect yourself. I mean, it creates stress in your life to watch violent programs and all this nonsense.
It can bring you down.
Yeah, it does bring you down. There's so much with social media now and all that I just sometimes have to avoid Facebook and Twitter.
Steve and I are very much of that mind that you just have to turn it off because it's so negative, and you don't even know what is truth anymore.
I know.
So much of its opinion represented as truth. So
I watch Kim Kardashian and the Real Housewives. They got a lot of problems. It makes me feel like I don't have any problems. Yeah.
Wow.
When I worked at the Grand Floridian, they used to say Grand stood for guest request or never denied. And they had that like written right before you walked out on stage.
Those prices, they should.
I know.
I love your sense of humor. The room night there
at Christmas costs more than my first car.
It's pretty pricey.
And they do a great job.
I know, but it was just nice because it was the only place that I've ever worked to this day still that really empowered their employees.
Yeah.
You know, at Disney, a cast member who, you know, just started has the ability to, you know, if someone drops their popcorn, they can go get them another one. Or if they need to, you know, get something for somebody to make a magical moment. They're just empowered to do things, which creates all those great exceeding customer expectation special moments.
Well, giving people authority is one of the best things you can do if you're in the customer service business. You can't say, well, when the manager gets back on Wednesday or if we can find them, give people authority. You know, you hire great people and train them, they'll make better decisions than the manager. I mean, they know how to do it, and they'll do it. And people have their own lives they run and budgets they run, and they understand responsibility. And sometimes a lot of businesses, and we all deal with them every day. I'm sure you do, too, as you go out shopping. People don't know what's going on. Or if you do call a call center on your cell phone or your cable company, people have no authority to help you, and they want to. And I feel bad for them because they're on this phone, and all they can give you is excuses. But it's not their fault. Management has not given them the right training and authority to make decisions in favor of the customer, except Amazon, who has. And whoever answers the phone can take care of your problem and usually will take care of it 100% to your satisfaction, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's always amazing to us when we come back from like a Disney trip and you get out of the Disney bubble and you have to go to like the first gas station on your way home from 7 days of staying on property, and then the reality of the real world of customer service, no customer service, angry, you know, maybe some grumpy people, not a clean restroom. And you're like, okay.
Well, that's just people have had poor role models, you know, and people can learn to be better. I think when we hire people at Disney and they've come from different backgrounds and different levels of experience and service, and I think they leave Disney a year or two or three later with they're a different person. And they go out and they're highly valued by companies to be hired because they have got a new attitude. One guy told me, you know, a professor, he said, you sent us an introvert. We sent you an introvert from college and you sent us back an extrovert. I mean, Disney changes you. I mean, there's no question about it. If you get in the right environment in life, you get better. If you get in the wrong environment, you get worse. You got to be careful who you hang out with and where you hang out with, because eventually you'll become like them to survive.
A jumping point off of that, Lee, you came into Disney somewhat mid-career.
Yeah.
How did Disney change your life after you came over from Marriott?
Well, I can tell you, at Hilton, I learned the business. I knew it. I worked at the Waldorf Astoria, Conrad Hilton in Chicago, L.A. I really learned the technical part of how to do things. At Marriott, I learned how to be a really good manager, because Marriott, you have your own financial statements. You are totally 100% responsible. Man, they count every penny. And I learned how to run a business there, which I didn't know very much about, the P&Ls and financial statements and all that kind of stuff. And I was with them 17 years, and I really learned how you make money and how you watch the expenses. But at Disney, I must say, Marriott was great. And as my son called me, he was working for Disney one day in college program back in 89. And he called me and he said, "Dad, I got bad news for you. Disney's better than Marriott." He had worked at Marriott while he was going to college. And I said, "Why?" He said, "The training." He said, "It's incredible." And he was working on the front desk of the Contemporary. But I would think the entertainment thing to me was, and just that we really, you know, if I'd understood everything's important, that's what I really think Disney does. Everything's important. Every little thing, no cigarettes on the ground, windows are clean, landscaping's right. And landscaping, as a matter of fact, at Disney is spectacular. And all these little things add up in your brain to say, "Wow, man, what kind of place?" And I never really realized that. I look back at Marriott when I'd see it. You know, we didn't keep the – people could get a good view into the kitchen, which they shouldn't have, and a mop bucket over in the corner, and the driveway not as clean as it should be. And I think about, boy, at Disney, it's putting on a show, and everything's right. The scene is right. The props are right. Everybody knows their role in the show. They're expected to perform that role. And that really struck me big time, because when you get around, I thought I came from a great company, and Marriott was great. But let me tell you, Disney was like far and ahead of anything I'd ever experienced in my life. And I always tell people, you can't get better unless you experience better. You can read about it until you go and you actually see it in play and it's happening. And that's, you know, it's the same. I said once, I read about India my whole life and then I went there. Let me tell you, it was a big difference between reading about it and being there. So I tell people, get experience in the best places. It will pay off for you. It's an education, and maybe the better education than even college. I think travel and experience are the two big winners for long-term success.
So for anyone traveling to the Walt Disney World Resort, where are they going to find Lee Cockerell's fingerprints still today?
Well, you can find my window on Main Street, which I was shocked about. I about fainted when they gave me that window, because you're supposed to be there 25 years, and I was only 16, but that's pretty cool. But I think somebody told me the other day they were at Disney, and they asked a cast member about me, and they remembered me. And that's a good thing, because my books are all sold at Disney and they still use them in the Disney Institute. And I think, you know, you always talk about you hope you left a legacy in your life with your family and hopefully with other people. And that I always wondered what people say about me behind my back. And so far I'm hearing it's pretty good, because I've tried to really focus on the cast members there and to do the right thing. And so that's hopefully the legacy you leave. You know, when you're dead, all you got. Somebody told me the other day, he was telling me his father died, and I said, "Boy, I'm so sorry," but I said, "One thing you can say, your dad left a legacy in you, your children, and your grandchildren. Everybody will be impacted by his good role modeling and what a great father he was." And I think that's what happens with leaders too. If you set the right example and you're a good leader and you're respectful and you're inclusive and you respect everyone, the leaders around you become that, and then they pass that down and pass that down and pass that down, and the business gets better, just like families get better. And so that's what I try to think about top of mind all the time, is, you know, not so much about the product. We got Imagineering and all those people do that. I want to think about the people, because that's really Disney's difference. People, people, people. I mean, unless you know that and believe that, and if you don't believe everybody's important, you're not going to have a very much successful life.
Do you think, or have you seen a change in the standards in the people in the service at Disney?
Well, you know, people ask me that all the time, and I think we like to say that, but I'm kind of aware I was working with the Disney Institute, and Disney interviews 2 million guests a year. 2 million.
Wow.
When you're entering a ride, when you're exiting a ride, when you're checking in, checking out, everything, buying an ice cream cone, coming out of the bathroom. And the guest satisfaction scores are still extremely high. They have not declined at all. And they're usually in the 8.5 out of 10 category, which every company I've dealt with tells me that's world-class results. So are there issues or do people worry about it as it gets more bigger and bigger and busier and busier? But I was just over to Disney Springs the other day. I got invited for the opening. I hadn't been over there. It's incredible. I mean, I don't know if you've seen it since they rebuilt all this. It's just bigger and better.
We had
but there are going to be people that always don't like something. You know, Every time I was there, when we closed a ride, I thought I got hate mail.
you can't keep the old stuff and still build new stuff.
I know. Toad. Don't take Mr. Toad or the chicken.
Oh, that's the one.
Everyone loves Mr. Toad.
I thought I was going to be killed in my house. I got drapes and closed them at night so I wouldn't be shot. But, of course, at Disney, and, you know, Disney's kind of like a national park. People don't think of it as a private company. They think they have an ownership in it, and in a way they do. They're so committed to it, and I think that was one of the things. They give you their opinion, and you know, closing Mr. Toad's ride was like chopping down one of the grand big sequoia trees. I mean, it was like, but everybody at Disney, the guests at Disney who come frequently, the average guest comes every 3 years their whole life, they want the same, but they want new stuff too. And that's just the balance. That's the tough part. It's kind of like running for president. People want this and they don't want that. But so we try to, I think most of the decisions that made it Disney are done through very clear research, how many people are going to it. It's hard. It's hard because our guests, man, they are committed to Disney and they want to keep it like it was, and Disney wants to keep it like it was, but it's hard to, because if you don't update attractions now and shows with technology, the younger people get up, you know, they don't want to hear about it. And technology's got to be a part of the implementation today. Her kids are bored to death.
I know. Like your Mr. Toad example, that was like my favorite ride when I was a kid. So I took my kids to Disneyland to ride it, you know, Amber and Brooke, and they were, I don't know, like 9 and 5. And they got off that ride and they're like, Daddy, that was the dumbest, worst ride ever. And I had to agree. I was like, wow, when I was like 5, I was getting run over by a train and I was going through all this stuff and it was like, it was real. But then now when
you're the internet, baby.
Yeah. Now everyone's like, ugh.
Not only is the ride boring, parents are boring too. You know? That's what you got. I'll tell you, a lady came to see me. She called me when we closed 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, you know, that the little submarines. I don't know if you ever were in one.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But, boy, they were taken off to the landfill and they were going to be bulldozed over. This lady called me. She was from California. She was really upset because she wanted her kids would never see it. And it was her favorite ride. And I wrote her back and I said, all right, you come see me. And she flew in, brought her kids. I took her over to the landfill. Let the kids play around and see them before we bulldozed them. And that made her happy as a lark. She was the last person to see the submarines. But that's what she wanted, and it was fun to do.
But
guests are emotional.
I know.
They have attachments.
Absolutely.
Like pretty much everyone listening to this show would love to have one of those in their living room or in their front, in their front driveway.
Yeah, exactly. It would be a bomb shelter, maybe.
I think with the new Soarin' Over the World, I got to ride that out in California, and I miss the oranges. I want the orange smell back. I want to dangle my feet in the river. I want it back. But I did like the new one. Great cinematography on that.
I haven't been on it yet, so you know more than I do about it.
There's no oranges.
No oranges.
I hate to spoil it.
I guess I'll just have to go to California.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, well, we have a few oranges in Florida, but not like that.
So you were talking earlier about the magic and the expectations, and people have huge expectations. It's funny having worked there and still kind of dealing with people in the sense of trying to fulfill their dreams. And it's so disappointing for them when it rains and you don't close the dome over Disney World.
They better not come this summer. It rains every day so far since I got home. every afternoon. But it doesn't rain too long, so that's kind of what Florida's supposed to be like. They would not like it at all if it didn't rain, I assure you.
No,
we'd be living on a desert. But yeah, we get blamed for the rain. We get blamed for all that stuff. And I think, you know, somebody said, do people not go to the park when it rains? I said, no. Listen, if they plan their vacation, they're going to be there. They get those ponchos on and they get out and they do their thing. And it does cool things off too, by the way. It's been really hot this summer, and it can take the temperature down 10, 15 degrees in the afternoon, which they might appreciate more.
That's a welcome change, that's for sure, especially in the heat of July and August.
Yeah, no question.
Well, we love to hear firsthand stories from cast members about being a part of the magic. What would you say would be your... I mean, the submarine story is pretty odd and interesting, in my opinion. But what would you consider the most interesting or unusual firsthand experience you had with Disney?
Well, you know, I was always surprised at how emotional everyone was and committed was. You would be shocked at how many people wanted to come up to my office. You know, I would say, what? You're here on vacation? Want to come up here and take a photo? Or something like that. Or the thing that I think really touched me the most is seeing children in a wheelchair or have some kind of disability that just, when that parade goes by, I mean, if you've had a bad day, I said to just go over to the park before you go home, watch the parade and watch the people standing in line watching it. And there's a million stories about how cast members just go out of their way to make those kids feel, and you know, they don't have to do that. They do it because they want to do it. And I think there's a big set of, you know, to me, there's when somebody's happy and they're smiling and think, you made my day, that I think that's about as good as it gets anymore in my life anyway. And cast members seem to really appreciate doing that. And so we have a lot of kids with autism, a lot of disabled children, a lot of kids on wishes, you know, coming to give kids a world. I think those are the ones that have to move you the most. Or sometimes I would tell you one of them that moved me the most. You know, we had the flag retreat every day and pick a veteran to put it down. And one lady wrote to me and said, you know, I wanted my dad to do the flag retreat. And she said they agreed to do that. And she said he has cancer and has no hair. And she said, I started to cry when my father did the flag retreat. And it's the first time I've ever seen him take his hat off. I mean, you know, the disrespect for the American, the service, and and that just changed somebody's life that he was selected to do that. And I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it's pretty emotional.
Little acts make big differences.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think sometimes we underestimate the little things, how important they are. And for kids, if you know kids, the little things are important to them. You know, they just soon climb on the tree at the Magic Kingdom as going a ride.
Very true.
I said we would have 100% scores if it was just kids, because the adults are the only ones that complain. And now the kids got their own phones so they can keep themselves busy in line too. So
yeah, very true.
Yeah. But, yeah, there's a lot of emotion going on, a lot of tears and a lot of memories, you know. I saw one mother come in one morning in Magic Kingdom. The first minute we opened, she came around the corner and wanted to show her little daughter in the stroller, the castle, and the little girl. She could care less. Mom was crying and, you know, going on. And just to see people want to come back and experience that, what they experienced when they were children, is pretty amazing. Yeah. And three generations coming together now. Now it's grandparents, parents, and the kids coming together. Grandparents are in better shape and feeling better, and they all come together. And that's a big change over the last about 15 years, where we started to see that change in the number of people coming in a party.
Yeah. And then just to piggyback on Steve's story about Mr. Toad and trying to share something that was so magical for him. And they look at him like, are you crazy? it is true that you go there and you want your kids to relive the same things that you did and have the same joy and excitement. And it may be the same. It may be different. And they may find entirely new experiences. And those are their foundation for their memories that they're going to look forward to sharing with their kids.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, well, progress, life goes on, and we all change because of, well, certainly the kids are changed because they're exposed to so much technology now that it takes a lot to impress them. And,
it does.
Yeah, it really does. And so Disney's feverishly working on that to get the next generation enjoying what they want to see. And you'll see more technology even in the stage shows, you know, everything. The fireworks are incredibly different than they were 20 years ago.
Well, I got to see some of that new technology over at, what is it, the Hyperion, where they've got the new Frozen show.
Yeah, right.
And I was thinking to myself, they do the projections for the backgrounds. And so their scenery, they can change it in a blink of an eye because it's simply projection. And yeah, and the technology that they've incorporated into this new stage show, it's very modern.
I don't think we've seen anything yet what's coming.
No, I hope not.
Because technology's coming so rapidly that it's just, it makes it more, actually it makes more fantasy than you can imagine when you actually see these, the technology applied to some of these rides. People, I mean, little girls and little boys just are in awe when they see some of this stuff in action.
It's, yeah.
And I think that's part of the magic. It surprises them. They don't expect it. And
We're all waiting for Star Wars and Avatar Land and the River of Light show. And yeah, there's so many things that are on the way that we're so excited about. So
I haven't even been to Animal Kingdom at night yet. And everybody tells me it's great. So I don't know. Have you been there?
Sharpie was
absolutely.
He was just there.
How was it?
It's incredible. It truly added a new, totally new dimension to that park. It's definitely something that's been missing for years.
Yeah, they really needed that.
Animal Kingdom Park is Sharpie's favorite, and he'll he'll punch anyone in the nose who says otherwise, that it's a half day park.
What?
It's true. We had friends come from all over the world, and they always tell us this is almost like back home in South Africa, you know, or this is almost like in India, or and it's very authentic, and it's amazing. So yeah, authenticity. That's what Disney does well.
Yeah. Well, it is a show. And yeah, and they put show. On a good one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'd like to point out that at your website, leecockrell.com, our listeners and fans of yours can find your podcast. They can find information that you're blogging, just stories and fun stuff. But you've also got your books on there. Some of the information that you offer is free. Some, you know, you have to pay for. Buy the book.
If you want it.
So,
and I got a new book coming out in March or September 30th, by the way.
What's
that? It's called Career Magic, How to Stay on Track to Achieve a Stellar Career.
Well, I
your
might have to buy
have
one
definitely
of those.
Guided my career, Lee.
Well, it's about the ups and downs you're going to have in your career. You know, don't give up. You're going to get, I had everything happen to me. I didn't have a college degree. I started as an hourly. I got promoted. I got fired. I got passed over for a promotion. I've been there. And I tell you what, your best days are usually ahead of you. Just pick yourself up. My wife and I had a 2-year-old. We didn't have any money. We didn't have a job. I was fired from a job I had, and we got it back. And you know what? I said to people, there was life after no college degree. There was life after being in the Army. There was life after Hilton, life after Marriott, life after Disney. And life after being fired, actually, it all got better. And so I just want to encourage people to just do not give up. Your best days are probably around the corner. And if you give up, you're definitely going to be not have a good life. And we need to hear that because this is still a country where you can go do your thing. And people don't want to ask about your degree if you're an excellent performer. If you do a great job, you will be recognized and a great attitude. And that's what this book's going to be about.
Awesome. Well, we'll have to check that one out.
Maybe we'll read it.
Yeah. There you go.
We'll have to have you back on. You're very animated, and I enjoy having you on the show.
It's because I had a glass of wine a minute ago.
Okay. You know what? Have another and call us back. We should have Lauren on the next show.
I got an office upstairs. My wife won't let me come downstairs, so I come up here and have a life.
All right. Well, thank you so very much. We appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, take care. Good to be with you.
All right. Real quick, I'm going to wrap up the show. I would like to thank PixieVacations.com for sponsoring the podcast. I would especially like to thank Lee for coming on and speaking with us. If you enjoy our shows, you can go to iTunes or you can go to mousechat.net. You can download plenty of them there. If you have any comments or questions for us, please send those to us at comments@mousechat.net. Thank you so much for listening, and please join us again next time on Mouse Chat. Clear.
Very good. Awesome. Alrighty. That was good. We might.
You're fun.
So we'll have to.
I love your books, Lee. I really do. I finished reading Time Management Magic at the beach last summer, and it propelled me to get started back going to the gym. So
good for you. You'll live longer.
Absolutely.
And how's that working out for you, Sharpie?
I've lost 144 pounds over the last 3 years.
Is this a joke or true?
No, that's true.
It's true.
Oh, my God.
Yep. I had just changed my diet, and then I read Time Management Magic, finished it up at the beach last summer, and the next week I was back at the gym.
How do you feel?
Amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. I mean, there's nothing better than feeling better, feeling good.
For far too long in my life, I had let food and poor exercise habits control my life. But once I got those things under control, it's truly changed my life.
Now you got a new good habit. Somebody said nothing tastes as good as thin feels.
It's true.
And it's true.
It is very true.
God bless you. That's impressive. That is impressive.
My longest distance in a day at Disney World so far has been 13 miles. Run Disney is on my horizon at some point.
Yeah, good for you. Wow, I'm impressed. I thought you were joking there for a minute. But,
absolutely not.
Wow. And
thanks to your book, it helped me reprioritize things.
Well, Mr. Marriott told me years ago, he said, if you have flies in your restaurants, you like flies. And it was kind of like the message was, whatever you got, you must like it because you can change it.
Absolutely.
And I try to think about that all the time. I was telling somebody the other day, it's fun in time management. We talk about, I tell them, if you do the hard things in life, life gets easier. If you take the easy route, life gets harder. And it's worth doing the hard things because your life gets so much better. And you've learned that. And
I need you to come tell my kids that.
Well, yeah, I know. You just got to make sure your kids are not happy every day.
My mother made sure
we weren't happy. She said, I don't care if you're happy. I want you to be successful. So she used to kick our butt pretty hard.
Yeah, it's very true.
Our job's not to make them happy. It's to make them leave home.
and be able to succeed at that.
You will. You'll do a good job.
Aww. So he's VP, anyway, he's VP over at Magic Kingdom?
Yeah, he is. He's been with Disney 25 years as of last week.
Does he have his own window?
He doesn't, but I told him to keep mine clean. And I told him to put more lights on it. So he didn't do it, though.
A couple of arrows pointing to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Flashing lights. Doot, doot.